This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill today, I have Roger Teo, a postgraduate student at Imperial who has written many articles since 2015 on the Penang Transport Master Plan. The objective of this PTMP is to address the horrendous traffic congestion faced by Penangites by adopting a balanced approach for public transport and highway improvement. Sounds ideal. So let's find out why Roger Teo is so against the PTMP. Roger, the Penang Master Transport Plan is very comprehensive and is supposed to go on to 2030. Cost for the entire PTMP has been reported above 40 billion, which is no small sum and gives us an idea of scale. But let's just focus on the priority projects. And we'll start with the highway, which is the Pan Island Link, or otherwise known as PIL1. Now, what is your main point of contention for it?
I think let's just like briefly take a step back to look at the entire overall picture of the current Penang Transport Master Plan. So as it stands right now, we believe that there's too much emphasis on highways over public transport, despite what you said and what the state government at Penang should prioritise on public transport. So, for example, Phase 1 of the Penang Transport Master Plan, which includes the PIL1, the Pan Island Link 1 highway, and the LRT. So as what we like, Penang is going to build 70 kilometres of highways, but costing 17 billion, but only 30 kilometres of LRT lines costing 8 billion. So if the emphasis is to increase Penang's public transport modal share from a low of 3% to 40%, which is the target set by the Penang state government by 2030, shouldn't Penang be focusing more on public transport over highways?
But I think if we just look at the PIL1, right, the argument is that currently Penang is only served with one spine road, which is the Tun Dr. Lim Chong Yu Expressway. And I understand it is experiencing congestion during peak hours. So the state's argument is that PIL1 is meant to serve as a second spine and disperse traffic from this expressway, right? So do you not think that PIL has a purpose?
So right now, the problem with Penang is technically, okay, right now, if we look at the highway supply in Penang City, which is measured by the highway length per capita, do you know that actually Penang has one of the highest highway length per capita in the world relative to all other cities around the world? And at the same time, we have zero public transport routes with a dedicated right-of-way. So, for example, a bus lane or a BRT route where the public transport can just go without being stuck in the traffic. And at the same time, Penang's car modal share is at 96.8%. So all this points to that Penang is very heavily car-dependent. So we're building more. If we build more roads to solve this problem, it's just a short-term solution that does not holistically tackle the overall transport network in Penang.
But there's also arguments that you cannot just focus on public transport, right? You still need to build roads at the same time. Some of the supporters of the PTMP use Singapore as an example, where they still continue to build MRT lines, but doesn't mean that the government doesn't continue to spend on building new expressways or highways.
Okay, yeah, that's a very good question. So firstly, let's talk about this argument, I believe, which is from what you said, which is from SRS Consortium, where roads is still needed to cater for 60% of the car modal share, right?
Yes.
So, okay, the calculations, which is done by NGOs and me, myself included, independently. So the calculations show that the existing road network in Penang at its present form is more than enough to cater for 60% of the car modal share by 2030 and beyond. So this is because the total number of cars traveling on Penang's road network in 2030 at a 60% car modal share will be lower relative to today. So because technically, if we were to reduce the car modal share from 96.8% to 60%, the total number of cars in Penang's roads will be much lower in 2030.
But the question is, how do you persuade Penangites not to use their cars at the moment? Will that, in that process when you do and you try to persuade them to use public transport, what is the alternative? Will they just face horrendous traffic problems? Because it's not like Penangites are going to wake up one morning and say, okay, we're going to take the bus, we're going to take the train, assuming those systems of transport are available. Won't it take a while for the mindset to change?
So I think first of all, Penang needs to move in the right direction. So short-term pain, long-term gain. So just take an analogy, for example, let's say if a patient have cancer, do you provide a paracetamol every day, or do you go for chemotherapy and just, yeah, you get a short-term pain, but at least you solve the long-term problems. So one thing I think is thinking back during the time when I'm living in Penang for a very long time last time, I think Penang currently does not have a viable public transport alternative. So people could not think of like, oh, actually there are much better ways that we could travel around, because in their mindset, what they are currently seeing in Penang, it's only cars, and cars are the only viable option. So having lived in London yourself, you know how convenient it is if a city have a very viable public transport system where cars are not even necessary.
But I think that's also driven in London by the cost of having a car, right? It's mm-hmm. You have this congestion charge, parking is extremely mm-hmm. expensive. So Londoners automatically take public transport unless they have really no other option.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Penang can move into that model whereby it becomes expensive and public transport alternatively becomes cheaper then?
Do you want a political answer or a scientific answer?
Both. Your answer, Roger.
So if the answer is no, because it's not going to be feasible, because the politicians need to satisfy the whims of the people. But in terms of the scientific answer, then yes, Penang needs to account for the cost of negative externalities caused by driving a vehicle. So, for example, when you drive, you take up more space and it's you cause more air pollution, you know, and CO2 emissions. And currently, all these negative externalities are not accounted for in the cost of driving, which results in a higher proportion of driving than optimal.
Then let's shift back to the Bayan Lepas LRT, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. the other priority project that the Penang State is focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was part of the plan to increase the public modal share of transport from 5% to 40%. The train was supposed mm-hmm. to do that. Now, mm-hmm. do you have issues with this?
In my opinion, I think public transport, like the proposed LRT, is great, but the main problem is, can Penang afford it? So think about this way, like for the same amount of money, like 1 kilometer of LRT line, you could build around 3 kilometers of modern trams or 4.4 kilometers of BRT routes. But if you do this, you significantly expand the public transport network in Penang, which we currently virtually do not have much public transport. And that increases the coverage area and could make public transport more viable relative to the car.
So you are pro trains. You just think that it should be a tram rather than an LRT. Am I correct?
Well, it could be a tram or like. But first of all, I think Penang should first focus on low hanging fruits such as buses and bus lanes, which can be achieved in the short term. Whereas for trains such as trams and LRTs, you need a much longer, like a 5 to 10 year time horizon to get the infrastructure built and get it operational.
But I guess their point is that you need to be ambitious and forward-looking to resolve potential transport issues in the future. And they are looking at 2013, right? So they're building ahead and planning ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
think that's why they justify the use of the LRT. And the state government has also said that they prefer the LRT versus tram because mm-hmm. if they use trams, some business owners will have to relocate. They will change the social structure of the community. And they think, this is the state government's view, that the LRT would be the most practical and cost-effective solution. Do you agree?
No, I definitely do not agree with that. Because let's just take an example, like for a city with a similar population size compared to Penang. So I'm not sure, have you been to the city of Manchester before?
A long time ago.
So over there, like the population is about the same as Penang, but they use a modern tram system. So when the tram is in the city centre, the trams are on the surface of the street. But when it is getting out of the city centre, it travels in an elevated platform. So the tram technically it's more flexible. It's a more flexible public transport solution relative to LRT. And at the same time, when we see the trams crossing through the main street in the city of Manchester, that's the main street and the main shopping hub for people in Manchester to do their shopping and run errands. So rather than seeing it as business having to relocate, we actually see there's more activity around the tram stations within the city centre in Manchester. So the argument that business needs to relocate doesn't really make much sense.
And would it be much cheaper, the tram versus by and lepas LRT?
Oh, yes, definitely. Like, so I have some data. So, for example, the LRT, the construction cost per kilometre is about 220 million ringgit per kilometre relative to modern trams. If you're segregating it, if it's on the surface, it's about 50 million ringgit per kilometre. And if it's elevated, it's about 80 million ringgit per kilometre. So, again, that's why 1 kilometre of LRT lines could build 3 kilometres of modern trams. And that significantly expands the transport network in Penang, making it a more viable alternative relative to the car.
The initial PTMP was based on a HELCO report, which was endorsed by the Penang State Government in 2013. This included trams and bus rapid transit, which were replaced by monorail and LRT. So why do you think the current PTMP has deviated so much from the original HELCO plan?
So in the answer to this question is more towards speculation rather than having being able to back this by data. But in my opinion, I think that's could be because the current form of the PTMP, it's being proposed by developers, and there could be some conflicts of interest. For example, if you know SRS Consortium, which they're functioning as a project delivery partner for the PTMP. And at the same time, they're functioning as consultants, as proposers and planners. So given that if they're going to get a 6% cut in terms of the profits, so don't you think that it makes sense for them, like in terms of conflict of interest, where they will choose the most expensive options so that they can increase their profits in the short term?
And do you have any views on the state's plan to reclaim the three islands, this Penang South Reclamation Project? I mean, they justify this reclamation from the point of view that they will sell the land from the reclaimed islands, which will then fund the PTMP. And in other words, then Penang State does not have to rely on federal funding at all.
The simple answer is no. I do not think that the three reclaimed islands would be justified. So because at the moment, if you look at the justifications made by the Penang State government to reclaim these islands, one of the rationale is because Penang's population is going to grow up to 2.45 million by 2030, and we need more space, and the economy needs to grow, right? So that's a justification by SRS Consortium as well. However, if we look at the data from the Department of Statistics in Malaysia, they are only forecasting that the population growth, population in Penang will only be about 1.94 million in 2040 instead of 2030. So that's about 500,000 people less than what we see, what was forecasted by SRS Consortium. So technically, that reduces the pressure needed to, you know, have more land to house these people. And not just that, why not look into like the mainland in Seberang Parai, when you could develop that at a much cheaper cost relative to the South Reclamation Scheme. And that's still the final point, the most important point is what are the impacts of the environment to reclaim this land? At what cost do we need to do this land reclamation scheme?
But on the other hand, the Penang State will be, how else are we going to fund a transport master plan since federal is not involved?
Well, I think the simple answer to that is, why not just choose cheaper alternatives that are more readily available? So do we really need an expensive Pan Island Link 1 highway, which is, do you know, it's one of the most expensive highways and arguably one of the most expensive transport infrastructure in Malaysia? It costs, it's 56% more expensive than the Kuala Lumpur-Singapore high-speed rail. And it is 7.5 times more expensive relative to the East Coast Rail Link, ECRL, on a cost per kilometre basis. So if we can choose cheaper alternatives, do we really need this to reclaim this money to fund this expensive projects in the first place?
I've been speaking to Roger Teo, a postgraduate student at Imperial University London, who has written many articles on PTMP over the last 4 years. After this, we'll get his thoughts on what will really resolve the horrendous traffic congestion issues in Penang. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Roger Teo. Roger, who has been a vocal critic of the Penang Master Transport Plan, had earlier shared his views on what was so very wrong with this PTMP. Roger, let's spend some time to understand how your views on PTMP have evolved based on the letters published in Malaysia Kini. In May 2016, you were in favour of the PTMP. You continued a similar stance in June 2016, as you said that the PTMP was well-balanced in creating a multimodal transport model. But in October 2016, you start criticizing it, advocating a scale-down of the highways. What caused that change of stance and this inconsistent view?
So in May 2016, like as I mentioned earlier, like the belief was still that the PTMP is still going to be implemented based on the recommendations from the Halper report. So little did I know that actually the PTMP has been significantly revised to include so much more highways. For example, we're building 70 kilometers of highways in the current form of the PTMP, costing 17 billion, but only 30 kilometers of LRT lines, costing 8 billion. And so clearly, where are the balance? That's not multimodal, right? Based on the new data that we have right now.
So, Roger, do you disagree with every part of the PTMP, or are there parts you think will help to alleviate the traffic congestion in Penang? And what would you recommend to resolve the current issues?
I think anything that was previously proposed to the Penang State government, such as the Halker report by an independent British transport consultant, as well as the alternative, better, cheaper, faster transport master plan proposed by an NGO called Penang Forum. This is miles better than the SRS proposed PTMP because it is more balanced. And number two is that we are living within our means by not having to construct such expensive infrastructures, such as if we use like modern trams, BRTs, and more buses. This costs a lot lower relative to what they're proposing currently. So in the short term, I think Penang should first concentrate on low-hanging fruits, such as buses and bus lanes, because they are crucial for every city around the world. So, Shoning, having lived in London yourself, you might have feel that most of the public transport trips in London are made by the London Underground, right?
It's a combination, actually. A bit of sometimes you take the tube and then sometimes you mix it up with the bus.
Yes. That's the point. So lots of people are mistaken that, the current car modal share in London is 37% because London has 12 London Underground lines. But do people know that actually London has one of the largest and most comprehensive local bus network in the world with over 700 routes? And do you know that actually the statistics from Transport for London show that in 2017, there's 2.25 billion trips by bus, relative to 1.5 billion trips in the London Underground. So clearly, we see that buses are very important to reduce the car modal share in a city. And a simple LRT solution is simply not enough to reduce the car modal share in Penang, or reduce the car dependence.
It's true, the buses add to the last mile connectivity for any journey, right, usually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then some critics will say that you aren't in Penang and you don't have to endure the traffic conditions there. While Chief Minister says that you and the NGOs are the noisy minority, not the silent majority who won this project.
So I believe that I could speak for Penang because I was living there for 17 years. I'm still travelling back every year to experience the way of life in Penang. So do you know that actually the last time I actually took a car to travel was when I was back in Penang for my holidays back in December 2018. Since then, I haven't took a car since I was in Penang to complete my trip.
Because there are no other alternatives in Penang, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. There's just simply no other alternatives. So I think people are rational. So if you give people a viable alternative to use public transport, so for example, what do I mean by a viable alternative? So the door-to-door travel speed, the door-to-door travel time, of a public transport must be equivalent to the travel time by car. So let me give you an example. So let's say if we were to travel from Georgetown to the airport, which is covered by the alignment of the current Penang LRT and the Pan Island Link 1X highway. So what, based on rationality, if one can take 15 minutes to get from Georgetown or Gurney Drive to the airport, relative to an hour on the LRT, based on rationality, what would people choose? Would you choose an LRT that takes four times longer to get to complete your trip relative to a highway? So that doesn't, you know, it doesn't provide Penang Nights a viable alternative.
And since we're talking about the NGO, the Penang Forum has said that the PTMP has moved from a public transport plan to a developer's plan. Do you think that the Penang state government is now working too closely with developers?
Okay, so given that there's, I think that could be a lack of capacity and the technical advisors in the Penang state government, as highlighted, like, for example, I'm not sure if the listeners of BFM are aware of that, the Penang government has failed to identify the drawing errors in the PIL 1 highway. So it is not, given this lack of capacity and technical advisors, it's not surprising that the Penang state government has become more dependent on SRS consortium. So apparently they might see that there's no other option other than to go along with this potentially misguided proposals with limited options put forward by the consultants for the PTMP, despite the potentially grave conflicts of interest. So it might be just because the Penang state government might not be well informed enough, and they're forced to believe everything that the developer has proposed to them.
And switching gears to you, Roger, at such a young age of 26, you have been unusual in your vocal opposition to the PTMP. Now, why is this issue so important to you?
So I started getting interested in the Penang Transport Master Plan when I was doing my master's thesis. For example, I looked at what are the global factors affecting car modal share in 100 cities around the world. So after doing this, I feel that most of the findings are directly applicable to Penang. What Penang is facing right now is no different than any other cities are facing around the world. So most cities are faced with traffic congestion, but the data shows that more highways do not solve traffic congestion.
Thank you, Roger. That was Roger Teo, a young man who has clearly thought long and hard on an issue that has divided Penang, how best to resolve its current traffic woes. I am Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.